I'm Teddy Parrish, joined today by a full set of very intelligent gentlemen from the research department, Troy Harmon, Nick Antonucci, and Mark Beninelli.
We wanted to talk about Ukraine before we dove into that. As we said, you know, Monday the market fell pretty precipitously, but the market in Russia fell 11% on the news that the Ukraine could be under attack by its neighbor Russia to protect its citizens, I guess, is the way that Russia was spinning it.
So I get, it's the Ukraine now. It was Syria a little while ago. Next, it's going to be Madagascar.
I don't know.
What Vladimir Putin seems to want. He wants a little bit of chaos. He sent troops in on Saturday, and they've been scrambling jets over the entire Ukrainian-Russian border. So he sends troops into Crimea to, I guess, secure their naval base there, as well as kind of take control of the airports in Crimea in order to protect those ethnic Russians who are living in Ukraine.
They're the biggest part of the population, right?
Well, I've read some stuff that says that only 17% of the total population in the Ukraine is from Russian background, I guess. So the bigger portion is not. But there is there's more of a Russian sympathy in that in that particular region. So you get over in Kiev, where a lot of this started, where, you know, it's the country's capital, and they were dealing with a situation where most of the folks in the eastern region of the nation want to join the European Union. But, of course, Vladimir Putin looking at this thing, Ukraine used to be a portion of Russia, the Soviet Republic from way back when, and he still seems to have all of these ties, and he would love to keep it there. Not to mention the fact that he's got one of the biggest pieces of his natural resources that that the country uses for export. His pipelines run through the Ukraine. What is there, like seven of them, I think, Mark?
And it basically sends energy to all of Europe. And what he's really wants to do is set up a border kind of between Eastern Europe and Russia. He wants to have that buffer zone, and that's what Ukraine is. And if Ukraine falls towards the west and goes the Europe way, which is why they're protesting, because Ukraine's president said, hey, we're going to back out of this deal with Europe to become not part of the EU, but become have closer ties with them. So what happens if Ukraine is successful with this? Then a lot of other nations could start falling the Western way rather than under Moscow control. So you're starting to see a little more drama there. And what Putin's doing is they offered him $20 billion dollars worth of aid, just kind of buy some time so he can, I guess, bribe his underlings or his puppets over leading the Ukrainian government. And that's what we saw.
To follow on to your note about the geography of the area, I know it has been said that Moscow used to be 1,000 miles away from any of its borders, so that the United Nations and none of the world troops could get anywhere close to it. Now, after they've broken up, it's only about 100 miles from the border. So they would really appreciate more of a buffer, just to, like I say, give it – we're talking about 100 miles versus 1,000 miles.
Isn't one of their only ports that's available operable year-round is located
there? It's their only winter port, and they have a big portion of the Russian Navy that hangs out there in the Black Sea.
And now this isn't really just talks of Russia controlling Crimea anymore, right? They actually have proposed to vote to secede from the Ukraine on March 16th.
Crimea, exactly.
Really?
Well, and then you see President Obama's weighed in on this thing as well, and he's saying that that's actually against international law for them to try to break apart the Ukraine in that manner. So and he's also mentioned, and I think the number that I saw, I didn't see it lately, but the Ukraine needs about $35 billion in order for them to stay solvent. They had borrowed in December $20 billion from Russia, and obviously they'll have to pay that back immediately, I would imagine, if this doesn't go the way that Russia is hoping. So President Obama is encouraging U.S. policymakers to go along with the IMF's notion that they're going to lend money to the Ukraine.
Just on a tangent, this makes what Mitt Romney said during the debates.
Oh, yeah, I saw that note as well.
Yeah, because he said that Russia is one of our biggest geopolitical threats.
Right. I think
they joked about it. I mean, the others, including President Obama.
Right. Yeah. He said welcome back from the 1980s or something like that. Yeah, there was a comment that has actually blown up on him this week relation.
So I guess from a macro, global macro geopolitical point of view, and capitalism, I think that Russia needs to really watch out for what it's doing, because their currency has gotten slammed. And
absolutely, their financial markets as well.
Yeah. So if they continue down that path, you'll see a lot of capital flee, as well as just their only source of power really is their
energy,
right?
It's really natural gas resources that they export to Europe.
Yep.
Last time I checked, most energy oil was priced in dollars.
Well, I mean, if you back up and think about what's happened recently, though, and when I say recently, back in 2008, Russia crossed the borders into Georgia, previously Soviet Georgia. I'm sure still in some's mind, that's who it is. And what happened to him? Pretty much nothing. So he feels as if he can act badly. In fact, in the middle of this, didn't they launch an ICBM? I think it was later said that was all previously announced and everything. But could you imagine if it hadn't been, the craziness that could have ensued? But, while financial markets seem to react to it on Monday, we've seen more news as the week has unfolded, and it seems to get less and less attention, at least outside of the specific area in Russia.
It's definitely not over.
Oh no, I really don't think it's over. In fact, I think this might go on for multiple years.
It said that Putin drinks tiger's blood.
Right.
And not Tiger Woods. It makes him aggressive.
At least a lot of Stoli.
Some say he has Caesar's syndrome. And he's trying to rebuild.
Oh,
absolutely. He said it was the worst disaster in geopolitical history when the USSR broke up. He said that in a speech before.
I'm sure he has.
So from an investment perspective, is this something to abandon stocks on or just sit tight? I know what our stance is.
Sure.
Certainly there's going to be some added volatility with everything going on, but as we saw this week, just as an example, you're going to see things move one direction, and then as soon as a little bit more clear news or clear details come out, you're going to see it move right back the next way. So I think you just got to hold on.
Yeah, the one thing that I would caution against, though, is a lot of direct exposure to Russia and emerging markets in general. I know we have exposure that way, and we sent out a note this week and talked to clients about where we are. The iShares Emerging Markets Index symbol EEM has about 6% holdings directly in Russia, some of it Gazprom, the biggest position. Mm-hmm. So, you'll want to limit to whatever extent you can. Our limitation, we only hold 1% of that in most client accounts, so it's way less than 1%, 6% of 1%. It's a really small holding. So, ultimately, that's what I would urge is kind of pull back from direct exposure there, and the domestic markets probably will be very limited in their
I guess in closing, this these fears have kind of reiterated our just safe haven status, and the dollar is actually appreciated, which hurts.
Russia doesn't want a conflict. You already saw on Monday alone, Russian oligarchs lost about $13 billion in a single day.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones who really control the country. Yeah. Putin controls the country, but the oligarchs are the ones who kind of prop him up, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They need the money, no doubt. Yeah. And here's the other thing. When you start talking about selling their natural gas to Europe, while Europe might need the natural gas, Russia needs the money too.
Yeah, sure, definitely.
I don't think they're going to get too crazy with that.
Okay, well, great. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Don't touch that dial.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.